five, six, seven, eight.
I can tell you're feeling weary. We're in the month of February, but you can trust your favorite podcast to make you smile.
Well, it's been a while, but we're back. Both me and Joe are on track to make this season of Stage Rant feel brand new.
Come on!
One thing's universal. Opinions are like assholes.
So why not just sit back and listen to ours? This is season two of Stage Rant.
And boy, we're glad to be back.
Yes, sir.
So come on, just sit back and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Stage Rant, where two dudes, equally secure in their masculinity and sexuality, break down the biggest movie musicals.
Each week, myself, Adam, a man who thinks that Meryl Streep should be in way more musicals, discusses the history of a show with...
Joe, a man who didn't even go to his own goddamn prom, who has a lot of strong, pointed opinions. So without further ado, let's pull back the curtain and begin the show.
So Joe, what do LGBTQIA rights, performative activism, and Kerry Washington all have in common?
Is it perhaps Scandal on Ice?
You know? I'd love to see that.
Have you seen Scandal?
I've seen a few episodes.
I fucking love Scandal. It's such a quality show. Adam, we're obviously here to talk about The Prom.
Yes.
The Netflix original movie.
The 2020 Netflix original movie.
Which, Adam, which is kind of funny to think about.
Yeah.
So, like, hot take.
Mm-hmm.
2020 was not a great year.
What? I mean,
this was kind of a good way to end the year.
It was. It came out in December.
It came out in December.
Is this a Christmas musical?
No.
Okay.
It's cheating. It's not a Christmas musical on account that Christmas has nothing to do with the plot.
Yeah. And it came out, like, mid-December, so... but yeah.
I watched this movie after watching Happiest Season on Hulu, which was not great. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
It's not great. So you know Kristen Stewart? You remember Twilight?
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember how she has like two emotions? She has awake and asleep are her two emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really like the ending. So it's essentially... this is a gay musical, so we're gonna like this ties in, I promise, maybe kind of. So
okay.
Happiest Season stars Kristen Stewart and another girl whose name I forget. Okay. And they're a lesbian couple. And
Is this the one with Dan Levy in it?
Yes,
Levy?
Yes.
I've seen ads for it. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes. And they're like, cool, we're gonna go home and meet my parents for Christmas.
But the parents don't know that she's a lesbian.
Yes, and she finds that Kristen Stewart's character, this poor child, finds this out on the car ride to the parents' house. And I'm like, what kind of bullshit is that? You know who's not dropping bombs like, hey, I'm not out to my family? You know when you're not doing that?
Mm-hmm.
On the ride to Christmas with your lesbian lover.
No, don't do that.
Bullshit. Anywho, so this movie pissed me off. She should have ended up with Audrey Pilato. It's whatever. It's a whole thing. And so that annoyed me.
Uh-huh.
And then the same person who forced me to watch, coerced me to watch The Happiest Season was like, hey, let's watch The Prom on Netflix.
Mm.
And I said, what's it about? To which she replied, lesbians are not allowed to dance. And I said, oh no.
Sounds like gay Footloose when you put it that
way. I was like, is this gay Footloose? And she's like, kind of. And I'm like, okay, should I watch? Like, are we really going to watch this? And she says the following two names. She says, James Corden, Meryl Streep. And I'm like, let's do it.
I'm in.
This is a bop.
This is a bop.
This is like the crown jewel of 2020.
Yeah.
Which I feel like doesn't give enough credit to the quality of this film.
No.
Given how low the bar is.
Yeah.
They could have remade Cats with worse quality CGI, and it still would have been better than the vast majority of the year 2020.
I don't know about that.
I do.
I don't know about
I
that.
I do.
I don't know.
I do.
We watched Cats, and it wasn't fun.
And it wasn't probably not even a great podcast episode, to be honest.
It was probably shit.
But we made up for it tonight, because now we're singing all of our intros, right?
We're not.
That was a one-time... And maybe we'll do it on special episodes we really give a shit about.
Probably the finale, and maybe some holiday stuff.
Maybe some what holidays are coming up?
I don't know. Also,
this is February.
Yeah, we have decided. So here's a fun sneak peek of the rest of the season. We're doing 15 episodes. We'll probably throw some special ones here and there. Season two, just to put it out front here, will be a little bit different than season one. We're going to be doing some more, you know, kind of casual episodes where we just kind of converse about different Broadway or theatrical, you know, topics. We'll have some game episodes where we have guests on to
do. Oh, I'm so excited for the game
show
episodes.
Fun trivia games.
Ugh.
But we'll also still be doing our traditional reviewing a musical and rating it and whatnot. So that's what season two is going to look like.
Maybe some collabs, maybe some sponsorships.
Yeah, who knows? We're hoping.
I'm hoping. I hear MyPillow is looking for sponsors for sponsorship opportunities.
As I'm sure Mike Lindell has a lot of pointed opinions about Broadway, I don't think we need them here. Unless we want to get sued by Dominion or Smartmatic.
How funny would it be to do a collab with Lindell?
Okay, so I think that the Phantom could have really changed his life if he had just used my pillow.
If he had just used my pillow paired with those Jewish space lasers. Oh my god, this is not a political podcast. We're on the up and up. I'm so excited to not give a shit about politics anymore.
Yeah.
Anywho, thanks for voting, by the way.
Yeah, you heeded our advice and you all voted.
Stage rant saves politics. Okay, so yeah. The prom.
So the prom. Let's get into some of the numbers here.
Also, don't watch Happiest Hall. It's awful.
Yeah, don't
It's
do
just
it.
Not good. It does not have the ending it should.
Fair.
Okay, yeah. The prom. Do your numbers.
Yeah. So IMDb has a 6 out of 10. Kind of low, honestly. Rotten Tomatoes, disappointingly, at 56%.
Everyone's a fucking critic.
Metacritic, 55%. So it's, yeah.
So, like, I wonder how much of this is due to, like, the scandal with this movie. Did you hear about this?
Is it the James Corden
movie? Yeah. They're like, James Corden isn't gay. And right. I'm like, you know who isn't Asian? Scarlett Johansson. You know who isn't from the Pacific Islands? Emma Stone.
There were, like, controversy about that, though, still.
There were, but I'm like, I wonder if it's the same people.
I read some of the reviews because I also was confused about this, and it seemed as if people were just like, this is a bad plot. Like, people who hadn't seen the Broadway show or aren't in tune with Broadway, like strictly movie critics, were like, I don't get it. Moving on.
Right.
Like, a lot of the musicals we reviewed on this show, I would say a majority I've enjoyed. I wouldn't say all of them are, like, great, but I've enjoyed them.
Right. Or at least they're faithful adaptations.
Right.
And you can't, like, you know, it's whatever. Like, Mamma Mia! Exclamation point, here we go again. It's like, it is what it is. Like,
right.
It's fun. Let it be.
Right. And this is fun.
Yes.
The prom is fun. Like, there's not really, there's maybe two or three songs, and you and I have talked about this before, like, that we would actually skip.
Which is, like, the same with any
musical. Every
musical. There's always, like, the slow song.
There's always the ballad.
Yes.
Or the one song you're just like, meh, skip.
That is used as, like, an excuse for the actors to change backstage, right? They're like,
100%.
Okay, the one, oh my god, it's like the song that nobody likes. Have you seen this? It's a YouTube video. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It is the most broad, like, it's the most musical thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You have to watch it. It's about how there's always that song sung by the older character that no one likes.
So it gives time for the rest of the cast to either change the set, change costumes.
Do literally anything.
Go to the bathroom, take a smoke break.
It's like, leading lady, before you forget, here's my pocket watch that I mentioned oh so briefly at the beginning of the show.
This pocket watch?
It doesn't mean anything. I'm just sick of caring.
So
I wonder how much of
The bad reviews
are
from
due to them being like, James Corden isn't gay.
Yeah.
Which, not to make the defense, but my sister did call me after this, and she's just like, I've never been more upset than to have learned just now after watching The Prom that James Corden is not a gay man. And I'm like, no, he has a family. I think he has two kids.
He does. I think, so here's my feelings on it. Like, when it comes to casting, whether it's a Broadway show or a movie or a TV show, you cast who you think will perform the role best.
Yes.
And in my opinion, while I am, and people who know me, I'm a very liberal guy.
What?
And I'll, you know, but stunt casting oftentimes just hurts.
Yes.
Like,
Les Mis. It's sunk Les Mis.
Yeah, Les Mis, Cats, just those two really. Phantom of the Opera to a degree. You know, Gerard Butler.
All I ask of you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, ugh. So, like, avoid stunt casting. And
If you can.
Now, are there gay actors who would have been just as good, if not better, in this role? I'm sure. But James Corden also performed this really well. And it wasn't, in my opinion, and I think you share this opinion as well, it wasn't over the top like, hello, I'm a gay man!
So I'm actually gonna intervene for a hot second. Okay. I will say, so I think James Corden is incredible. He's one of those random late night talk show hosts that's incredibly talented. He's not like the Jimmy Fallon, where he's just like, he's just laughing the entire time.
The two Jimmys of late night suck.
Right, and it's like James Corden is a very musical person. He did Into the Woods, like on his show, he does a lot of musical.
He's hosted the Tonys.
Oh my god, some of my favorite introductions. He's like right up there with Neil Patrick Harris, like below Neil Patrick Harris, maybe the bottom to Neil below Neil Patrick Harris. but he's up there. He does incredible work, right?
Yeah.
I will say there are a couple moments within this movie where I'm like, okay, you could turn down the gay dial a little bit because it did feel like it was a parody of gay man.
Yeah.
And he, like, specifically Twitter called it, like, the gay face. Specifically, the first 3 minutes are tough. Because it's just like, oh my god!
Yeah.
And I'm like, James, buddy, you gotta tone this down. Like, I know you've probably talked to a lot of gay people in Hollywood, but, like, this is a little much.
Yeah.
Reel it in a little bit. So, I get the outcry, but at the same time, like, it's stunt casting, and he did a good job in the role.
He did. Yeah.
And, yeah. So, I don't want to get too much into the concept of representation within film. I think there's definitely a line, for sure.
There's
you should probably not have people playing races that they are not.
Right, like, you don't do the
That's
Harriet...
That's a little far.
Like, you don't do the Harriet Tubman biopic, and it's like, starring Angelina Jolie. Oh.
Right.
Kate Winslet, yeah.
Or Scarlett Johansson, because she does this all the freaking time.
Right.
Like, there's definitely a line. I would say it's probably more so bound in race, or
if the race or sexuality is important to the character, do your best to find an actor who fits that. If it is not at all in the description of the character and they're just like, well, everyone thinks this is a white person, so we're just going to cast a black person.
It's like, you know, no,
like, you can, honestly, you can do that. If there's nothing in the, like, if it's a book adaptation or anything, that specifically says, like, this person's black, whatever. But if the character you're basing it off of, whether you're adapting a musical to a movie, whatever. Anyway.
You're not going
to
make a Martin Luther King Jr. musical
with Hugh Jackman.
With Hugh Jackman, right? Like, come on. So, I think it's important just to talk about that on the front end. Because it didn't sink this film in any way.
No.
It did not stop my enjoyment of this film, especially at a very dark time in society.
Yeah.
I love this film. So, those are the scores.
Yeah, anyway.
A little scandal.
So the cast, we got Meryl Streep, James Corden, Nicole Kidman, Kerry Washington, Keegan-Michael Key, Andrew Reynolds, and introducing Jo Ellen Pellman, who plays our lead lesbian, Emma Nolan.
Her and, oh my god, what was her name from Hairspray? Was it Nikki... Oh, shit.
Nikki Blonsky?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those are both debut roles. However,
two of my favorite movie musicals with two leads who are brand new. Very cool.
Yeah. So here's a little background on the show itself. So it premiered not on the West End.
thank God.
But at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta, Georgia. And it ran from August 18th to December 25th in 2016. And then it moved to Broadway in the Long Acre Theater in 2018 from November 15th and closed in August of 2019 with roughly 25 preview shows, 309 full shows, and it did not recoup its investment.
Well, that's a
This was fun. A Max Bialystock production, and it flopped. It's based on a true story, and I will give an abridged version here. Basically, in 2010, Constance McMillan was a senior at Atawamba Agricultural High School in Fulton, Mississippi. Had plans to bring her girlfriend to the prom, wear a tuxedo, and in response, was banned from attending by the school board. Challenged the school board. In response, the board was like, all right, we're just going to cancel all prom. Then McMillan and the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, sued the school district and found that they were in violation of her First Amendment rights. However, the judge did not force the school district to reinstate the prom. Furthermore, McMillan was, in fact, sent to a fake prom attended by only 7 students. The fake prom was held at a country club, while the real prom, organized by parents, was held at a secret location. Celebrities, though, such as Green Day, Kat Cora, and Lance Bass, rallied together via social media to show the support for McMillan and agreed to help sponsor a second chance prom where McMillan and her girlfriend could attend without homophobic backlash. So this all...
That's so fucked up.
It's so fucked up. I can't... So the first time I watched this, we had finished recording the Christmas episode. And... you were like, stay a while, if you will, and watch the prom with me. And I was like, all right.
Yeah. I have a tale for you.
Yeah. And there are times where I'll be watching a movie or even a musical or a play where I'm like, I viscerally dislike this person.
Right.
I viscerally disliked Kerry Washington's character of Mrs. Green for the first half of this film. I was like, this bitch. This motherfucking bigoted bitch. So she did a really good job because I hated her. But yeah, it's fucked. It's not...
Like, holy hell. Because, like, you get to... For those who haven't seen it, maybe you shouldn't listen to this.
Spoilers?
Like, just watch it. It's good. It's good. On Netflix. You probably have access.
Yeah.
Whether you pay for it or you steal it from, like, a former partner. But, like, whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't... It's just so fucked up. So you get to the song that occurs right before what would be intermission in the stage production.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, you get to the scene where it's just, like, oh, it's a fake prom.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, like... Holy
heart
shit.
Drops.
Holy hell.
Just like...
And I forget who I was talking to who was watching this, and they're like, what year does this take place? And I'm like, it's modern day.
2020. And 2019, whatever.
And they're like, I don't think this occurs. Well, I hate to say it, but apparently it did occur in 2010.
In 2010, this happened. Like,
holy shit.
Like, how... I'm not gonna get political. How sad does your life have to be that you wake up every morning and you're like, you know what? I'm going to hate these people.
These high school lesbians.
Because they like the same gender.
Like, Jesus Christ, get a job. Go to Home Goods and decorate your home. Stop being a bigot.
Just
like, bigotry's not big of me, and it's not big of you either.
Very
like,
nice.
I got
very
that
nice
line in those.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. It's tough hearing that it did occur, and it did occur in 2010. If this was some like 1995 stuff, I'd be like,
okay.
But all to like think of the leaps and bounds that have happened in terms of equality for the LGBTQIA community within the past 20 years, even my lifetime, it's wild. Like, it is the fastest, you know, progressive issue in our time, and to think that this happened in 2010.
I mean, it's strange.
Like, a whole school got together and unanimously said, fuck these, in this case, seven people.
Yeah.
Two of which had learning disabilities.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
Just like, how sad does your life have to be that you're just like, I'm gonna hate these people because my life sucks.
Ableist like, pieces of shit. Okay.
And it's so weird to think of, like, this was 5 years before gay marriage became legal or was legalized across the United States. And then 5 years after that, we were dealing with an inept presidency that was also full of hatred.
Right.
So it's just so weird to see that, like, progress isn't like this.
It's almost like things don't change.
It's almost like progress isn't a straight line. And in fact, it's a very bumpy, confusing, convoluted road.
That takes revolution and fighting back against corrupt systems. Anywho, so let's talk about the prom.
Yes, we will, comrade.
Comrade.
You mentioned revolution.
So this takes place. This is very important to me. Adam, real quick, here's your first quiz.
Okay.
Can you name Joe's top three least favorite states?
Okay, I know Indiana's one of them.
Damn right it is.
Alabama?
Yep.
Oklahoma?
No. Oklahoma has nothing to offer, which means they have nothing to anger me. Number three. Come on.
Texas?
No. Texas is... They have, like, little...
Florida?
Yes, Florida.
Florida.
So, in this order, it is Indiana, Alabama, and Florida. Indiana, mm-hmm. because it's the Alabama of the North.
Of the North, yeah.
Alabama, because it's Alabama. And... three, Florida, because it's Florida and you cannot design an entire... I'm not going to get into this. You have beaches, but you also have a lot of crack. Anywho, so Indiana is my least favorite state for a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
This takes place in the fictional town of Edgewater, Indiana.
We're not going to fact check it.
Someone else can throw it in the comments that don't exist, because this is a podcast.
Audio only.
And so it opens up with a PTA meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I want to join the PTA someday.
I want to never get close to a PTA.
Oh, I want to be. I not only want to be on the PTA, I want to be a classroom mom. I want to be on the party planning committee.
Yeah.
That is the reason my children can't hang out with other children. because we like hate each other because they're like Joe wanted ice cream cake and I wanted cake pops.
We said brownies, but he said cookies.
What a bitch. So it opens up with a PTA meeting where the head of the PTA, which of course is Carrie motherfucking Washington.
The incomparable.
The incomparable Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Is announcing that, like, okay, we're not going to have a prom because our rules state that you can't bring a partner of the opposite sex, and therefore we're just not going to fight it, so we're just not going to have a prom.
Yeah.
And then we go, and it's just like, oh, okay.
So you're introduced to, like, okay, here's the problem. Cut to Broadway.
Cut to Broadway with the launch of Broadway's newest hit show,
Eleanor!
Eleanor!
Which, so what's weird about this, this was performed in 2016. Assuming it was written in 2015, 15 is when Hamilton came out. So it had...
It might be commentary.
It clearly, 100% is commentary. I don't know if, when they wrote this, if Hamilton had won, like, all the Tonys at this point. Because they make a joke of, like, what do they not like? The hip-hop? Like, was this right. Was this a very the specific writers, line. Yeah, like, was this the writers of the prom being like, this hip-hop musical about American history is never gonna work. Whoops.
Whoops, it worked.
Well. But yeah, so, like, that's just weird. Anyway. And then we get to meet our other two leads.
Let's talk process.
With James Corden as, what's his name? As Barry Glickman.
Barry Glickman.
And Meryl Streep as 2-time Tony Award winner, Dee Dee Allen.
I love these two. So I love this whole sequence because, Adam, I remember when I was trying to convince you to watch this before I forced you to watch it. I was like, I really like this show because it's like this big, like, busty, like, kind of like Hollywood.
It's like 50s Hollywood and classic Broadway.
Yes.
But if it existed today.
Da, 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 da.
This music and the producer's music are very similar.
Right. And so we meet our two protagonists, perhaps.
Anti-heroes.
Anti-heroes. Yeah, good way of putting it.
Yeah, they're anti-heroes.
They're less problematic Deadpool. So we have Meryl Streep and James Corden, and they're like, oh my gosh, we've just launched Eleanor.
Yeah.
They show at one point in time FDR. Oh my god.
James Corden's
FDR is rough.
Just
he's being like flung around on stage in a wheelchair.
And I'm like just a like cigarette sticking out of his mouth.
Big fat ass stogie in his mouth. I'm just like, this is too much. And they're like, okay, the reviews are in.
From one of them.
From one of
one
them.
One newspaper from Jersey.
From the New Jersey Starlight Ledger?
Starlight, yeah.
Something like that.
Something from Jersey.
And Jersey, people from New Jersey love Eleanor.
They love Eleanor.
They're big fans of Eleanor.
They go gaga.
Right, they go... And so it's just like, oh, cool, it's a hit, we did it. Like, yeah. We're not going to have to go on tour anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, lit.
For people who are familiar with movie musicals, not actual musicals, or Broadway musicals, if a show doesn't do so well, it's oftentimes just tours around the country to kind of recoup its losses.
They're like, we're going to take the show on the road, we need to make money back, let's do it.
Two kinds of tour shows. Shows that flopped on Broadway and need to tour, or shows that are so massive there is a demand to see them, so your Wickeds, your Phantoms, your Lion Kings.
Right.
You know, you see those in your hometown, and also it's still running in on Broadway. So those are... Welcome so, to tour shows with Adam, anyway.
They're like, hell yeah, we did great.
Yeah.
Hit show. Until right. They get to the end of the
they
song.
They prematurely celebrate.
And they're talking about, like, we're changing lives. Oh my god, our work is so important. Like, this is going to change the world, right?
Yeah.
And so then they get towards the end, and everyone starts reading more reviews, and they're a little problematic. Here's two reviews that kind of are a little rough. Mm-hmm. Barry Glickman's FDR might just be the most insultingly misguided, offensive, and laughable performance that this reviewer has ever had the squirming misfortune to endure.
Which ironically played into the whole controversy of James Corden himself being it anyway.
Irony! And they're like, okay, that's not great, but it's not bad. And then they're like, watching Dee Dee Allen's Eleanor Roosevelt croaking out a heavy-handed message of activism is like paying an aging drag queen to shove a syrup-soaked American flag down my throat. And she says...
That's not criticism. It's a personal attack.
If you're considering buying a ticket to the show, do yourself a favor. buy a few feet of good, heavy rope instead, and then go hang yourself. Now, holy shit.
Now, I've read bad reviews of musicals before.
Cats was bad.
But no reviewer was like, you know what would be better than watching Cats? Suicide!
Literally, just fucking kill yourself. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then they're like, was the show that bad? Was it the rapping? And it's just like, no.
Like, no, it's you two.
You're narcissists.
No one likes a narcissist.
No one likes an aging narcissist, and Dee Dee just does not understand this.
She's like, what?
I still don't understand what's wrong with that. Which, frankly, Meryl Streep, I'm kind of on the same page as you. Like, if you're that age, you're a goddamn queen, you do you.
Yeah.
But the public did not like it.
No.
And so they're like, oh, shit.
So then they're like, let's go get some drinks. Because they're at Sardi's,
yes,
which is
Sardi's.
The Broadway hangout.
We're spending a lot of detail on the opening because there's just a lot of content here.
The episode will...
Who's the bartender?
Pick up the pace. Oh, it's Trent Oliver, played by Andrew Reynolds. Andrew Reynolds was the original Elder Price in Book of Mormon. Which is ironic because he sings a song about religion, and I kept waiting for him to just say the line, I believe.
Yeah. That all of you are racist bigots. But they're not racist, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So, he's the
bartender.
His one defining quality is that he went to Juilliard.
Did you go to Juilliard?
Did you go to Juilliard? He references it so many times.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. Because everyone's instantly over his shit.
He's the perfect encapsulation of the... What's the word? Like, he's the perfect encapsulation of, like... The unlikable tryhard.
Yes. You're like, dude, I hate... Shut up.
For those of you who are in college, soon will be in college, or have attended college, you probably heard someone at some point say, when I studied abroad...
Oh my god, I
was in Ireland. When I went to Rome...
Oh my god, tell me about your time abroad. Like, was it transformational?
Same vibe.
And so they meet him. He went to Juilliard. And then we have Nicole fucking Kidman.
Yes. Miss Angie Dickinson comes in, who's a chorus girl. Has been a chorus girl for a while, but she's been trying so, so hard to get the role of Roxy Hart, which we talked about in season one. But they gave it to Ginger from Gilligan's Island, who ironically recently passed away.
Shit.
Because Barry says at one point, I thought she was dead. Well, about 3 weeks after this came out on Netflix, she was.
So,
rest in peace.
So they're all, like, sitting around. It's like a little family reunion. They're just hanging out. And they're just like, you know what? If we're not going to make it on Broadway, here's what we're going to do. Let's be activists.
Let's find a cause.
Let's name some causes. Global warming.
Too big.
Too big.
Mm-hmm.
Poverty.
Also too big.
Parking.
But then Nicole...
God, when Meryl Streep... I fucking lost it. When they're just, like, listing causes, and they're like, no, too big. And she's just, like, drunkenly dazing off. She's just like, parking. I'm like, yes, Meryl! Build parking garages for free!
And Andrew Reynolds saying, there's too many award shows.
There's too many award shows. Which I agree with, honestly.
There are.
Me. There's too many
Because we are in award show season as we're recording this. The Golden Globe nominations came out. I'm sure we're gonna get Oscars soon. Are they even going to do the Oscars? Are they even going to do the Tonys?
What movie? Like, you review...
Because, like, the Oscars have such weird specifications. Anyway, this isn't an Oscars podcast.
And so, like, they're just, like, listing off causes. And then Nicole Kidman's just like, what about this lesbian in Indiana who wanted to go to prom but can't? And they're like,
right.
Yes.
That's
we
it.
We are going to prove that being in this gay...
Being in this gay and age...
That being gay is not a crime. We're gonna, like, this is our moment to change the world. One lesbian at a time.
Yes.
They're gonna help this little lesbian.
And it definitely... So, I think the one line and... I mentioned, of course, during the three things that we had to kind of have you guess for what we're talking about today. I said performative activism.
Yeah.
The one line James Corden says of, we're going to help this little lesbian whether she likes it or not. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've seen in the news, like, a celebrity, whether a singer, actor, whoever, does something for charity, and then it's like, JK, it was for publicity. And it's just so cringeworthy. Anyway,
in the reprise of Changing Lives, they're like, okay, we're gonna fix this lesbian, which I love because it's literally reverse Footloose. It's gay inverse Footloose.
Yeah.
And so they're like, we're gonna help this lesbian, And in this song, this is when this movie truly won my heart, because it just starts shitting on Indiana.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The things that it claims. Just like, we're going to go down to where the rednecks and lack of dentistry thrive.
Which also, I don't... The redneck thing, yes. The dentistry...
It's like those fist-pumping, Bible-thumping, spam-eating, cousin-humping, cow-tipping, shoulder-slumping, tea-bagging, Jesus-jumping losers and their inbred wives. Holy hell.
Now, that's from the Broadway.
Yes.
They change it on Netflix to say those losers and their homely wives.
Homely wives. I like inbred wives a little
that
bit.
That makes... So here's a.
It's like we're gonna. But yes.
Here's my anecdote about Indiana, and then I will never talk about it ever again unless it's in reference to the show we're talking about. In October of 2020, of course, there was still a global pandemic going on, but damn it, Adam wanted to go to a pumpkin patch and go to a corn maze, pick some pumpkins, but safely and social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
However, the closest pumpkin patch was in Indiana.
Oh, that's rough.
So we drove to Indiana. Literally. No one was wearing a mask.
Of course not.
We walked up to the gate, and it said masks are required beyond this point. The person who took our tickets didn't have a mask on.
Of course not.
Indiana.
Get your shit together.
What the fuck?
Get it together.
You spawned Mike Pence out of a cornfield.
You have Bloomington and Indianapolis. The rest is upsetting.
And Indianapolis is just...
If you're from Indiana and you're listening to this, I hope you agree. But if you don't, reach out. We can talk.
Indianapolis is poor man's Columbus or Cincinnati.
But it is a planned city, which is really cool.
You find it cool.
I find it cool. Let me have my hobbies. Yeah. So they're like, we're going to march until the town looks like the end of Act 1 of Les Mis. And I'm just like, hell yeah.
This show, the prom... Similar to shows like You're in Town or even Shrek the Musical.
How many references can we get?
References Broadway. This is a very, and I said this as we were rewatching bits of it before we recorded here, it's a very postmodern musical. Right. Where it's both a musical about the culture of Broadway and conceited actors and the activism behind Broadway, and also a musical that's also really good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just this weird, like, it's great. Anyway.
And so, like, cool. So we have that. We've established that we're going to Indiana,
because mm-hmm.
They're going to save this lesbian at her prom.
And they're going with a non-union touring cast of Godspell.
Adam, I hate Godspell.
It's all right.
It is what it is. It's in the same category as, like, Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Which I like.
Oh!
I was in it!
Oh!
It's.
I can be in a car crash. That doesn't mean I have to like the car crash.
Hey, I'm not saying it's a good musical. All I'm saying is I have fond memories from that production.
Okay, I'm glad you had a good personal experience.
That's all
in
I'm
your
saying.
Own personal
I'm not.
Bubble of God's
I'm not saying it's a good show. Okay.
So we meet our protagonist, our real protagonist,
Emma.
And so she's in school. She's in high school. Mm-hmm. And she opens her locker, and there's two teddy bears that are scissoring. And I'm like, did they coordinate an elaborate scheme to, like, get into her locker to do this?
Right.
Is the whole school in on this? Which we learn later, yes, they are.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I'm just like, this is when it really drove home. I'm just like, whatever, the rest of this movie could be an active, you know, dumpster fire, and I would still love it. Mm-hmm. The next song starts with "Note to Self," people don't be gay in Indiana, and I'm just like, that's really good advice. The next verse is "Note to Self," people suck in Indiana, and I'm just like, really fucking going for the jugular here.
This musical. Welcome to Ryan Murphy Presents The Prom.
What else did Ryan Murphy do, Adam? Won't surprise anyone.
Ryan Murphy did Glee. Ryan Murphy did the Netflix miniseries Hollywood. It's also very good. Watched at the beginning of pandemic.
It's really good.
Probably won't be a season two, but it's a solid, self-contained story.
It stands on its own. It's a beautiful, like, romanticized version of Hollywood. And yes. I'm like, I'll take it.
It's good. He also did all the seasons of American Horror Story, which I love that show. I think it's amazing. It's the right amount of camp. Anyway.
And so, like, we're singing. Emma's like, just breathe. Whatever. These people suck. Which is really interesting because it's, like, it's juxtaposed to the song we just heard where they're like, we're going to save her. And she's just like, it's not ideal.
It is what it is. You know, I can't go anywhere else, so right. just...
I'm in high school, so whatever. Just it's hope fine. Nice. And you're like, huh, I kind of like her. Mm-hmm. And so, like, then we cut to the bus.
Where the cast singing, is on their way. Day by day, day by day, day by... That's all the gospel you're going
to
get.
And then James Corden hollers out to the people behind him actively singing. He's just like... shut up, you're making me hate God. And I'm just like, James Corden, that actually completely encompasses my feelings of the show Godspell. I'm like, stop singing Godspell, you're actively making me hate God.
In defense of Godspell, not really in defense of Godspell, but it was Stephen Schwartz's first show. He also did Wicked, so he does do good stuff. But then again, Wicked did not win
He's
the best
He's done something
musical.
Incredible. Shit, wrong musical. That's Book of Mormon.
Yeah, no, it's Trey Parker and...
yeah. Matt Stone.
Matt Stone, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so she's saying, she's like, just breathe. Mm-hmm. They're on the bus. They're like, cool, we're doing a good thing.
Yes. And Dee Dee talks about, like, this is going to get my Tony. This is going to be what say it's very much, they haven't quite gotten to the point where they're like, you're kind of self-centered.
What?
And Dee Dee's going off like, I'm going to win my third Tony with this. And Barry's like, I just want to prove that I'm a good person, that I'm a good actor, and I can do something.
Right.
We'll get into Barry's story later. He gets more developed as the show goes on. But they have this little heart-to-heart. Right. Like, I hope we're doing the good thing. Then cut to...
the PTA meeting.
The PTA meeting.
Ugh, it's not about me.
Oh.
So, if you haven't noticed yet... Dee Dee is a little vain.
Just a tad vain.
Just a tiny bit vain.
And this is my favorite song in this whole show.
This is your favorite song?
I love this song.
Don't get me wrong, I like this song, but... okay.
Listen, I love a good tango.
Dun, 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 dun. It is very good. So she's singing, like... there's a lot of good little, like, one-off lines in this. I think the star of this song isn't even Meryl Streep. It's actually Keegan-Michael Key. Because he's the principal.
Yes.
And just this whole time, it keeps cutting over to him. He's a huge Dee Dee Allen fan. Yes. And he's just, like, bopping. He's just like, yeah, I like this.
Yeah.
And she's just like, the post once said I was too old to play Ava Peron. And he's like, no. I'm like, where did you come from? You were in Key and Peele.
Yeah.
I like you and everything. But, like, how did you get so talented? Good for you.
Yeah.
Keegan-Michael Key.
So they finished their song. Kerry Washington's like, what, you're in on this, accusing the principal of, you know, organizing
They're
this.
They're talking about the value, and he's just like, you know, this is the United States, this is what we believe, and Kerry Washington delivers, the best line. She's like, this isn't America, this is Indiana. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Perfect. And so they get out of the PTA meeting. Yeah, Adam, Kerry Washington's just like, did you do this in... Keegan-Michael, it was like, what? I have no idea what's happening. You're a Dee Dee Allen, though. And so he is very obviously a huge fan.
Huge fan. And she's like, oh, are you a big fan? Small fan? Stabby fan?
Stabby fan.
And he's like, oh, big fan.
And she's
like, I'm surprised. You're not typically my type of fan.
And he's like, why? Because I'm black.
And she's like, straight. You are straight.
And he's like, yes, straight people
like Broadway, too. I relate to that on a spiritual level.
And so they're like, he's like, you need to back off, though, because we're trying to do stuff here. We're already talking to the state attorneys. Like, we could be fine.
But I also loved you in your Broadway debut in Swallow the Moon, and, Ladies Improving was amazing. And she's like, well, you're not going to, I see what you're doing. You're trying to trick me with flattery. But flattery makes me stronger.
Damn right it does,
Meryl. It fuels my ego. And off she struts like the queen she is.
God damn queen.
Love Meryl Streep.
And so then we have, like, a song that I'm not crazy. It's,
So they try to get their message out. And they go to a monster truck rally. Because they're at least guaranteed 2,500 people. Because
they had established at the beginning. They're like, we need a We Are the World, but for gays.
So they have the acceptance song.
The acceptance song.
And they actually, I mean, honestly, I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm glad they cut out half of it, because the other half is on the soundtrack.
It's rough.
It goes on for a while.
And it's like, they're at a monster truck rally, and they're like, attention, ladies and gentlemen, instead of our typical halftime show with a T-Rex car destroyer, we have some people from New York who are going to sing us a song about intolerance.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh my, if I was in that audience, I would have been pissed.
I would have been, like, I don't want to see the T-Rex eating cars.
I don't want to hear Dee Dee Allen sing about acceptance. And it's,
yeah.
So they're mad at Trent because he wrote them the song. And
yes. Well, he had lied and said that I'll get Stephen Sondheim
to
write us.
He's a big fan
of
his Sweeney Todd.
Yes. Turns out Sondheim's not a big fan of his Sweeney Todd. Which also, Andrew Reynolds is way too young to play Sweeney Todd. Anyway.
And so they're like, okay, so then...
Good news, though.
Yes.
The principal is able to find them at the hotel with Emma, and the Supreme Court of Indiana said, no, this is a civil rights issue, you gotta have a prom.
And they're like, cool, we won.
Yeah, we did it.
And the actors are just like, we did it.
We did this.
And he's just like, not really.
No, I think...
But Emma's kind of like, maybe you did. Like,
people you kinda, scared people.
You scared people, and Meryl Streep's just like, oh, I scare people.
Which, you know... I think watching this, I said I'm not getting political, I'm getting political again. Watching the prom after the last 4 years felt cathartic.
Yep.
I'll leave it at that. And knowing that, you know, intolerant people were scared by acceptance.
Right.
I'm all here for it.
And so the principal, or Meryl, is like, is there anywhere in town
that has plates and cutlery?
To which Keegan-Michael Key is like, there's an Applebee's by the mall.
Take me to this place of apples and bees.
Apples and bees. After, mind you, she says that she can't go
to a gay bar because
Big Boy.
Which is, if you're in the Midwest, not a gay bar.
They do hamburgers. And
they're
so,
okay.
Hey, do you know what time it is? What's promposal? Okay, so here's some bullshit. Okay, so listen. For a school that is very homophobic and literally only homophobic, from what I can gather about this institution.
Oh, hold on. Sorry.
Applebee's is after promposals.
It is?
Yeah. I don't know why it's ordered like that in here.
Huh. Weird. Yeah. Anyway.
Whatever.
Anyway.
Our script is wrong. So, yeah. So it's promposal time. And for a high school that is apparently very intolerant, they really, truly embrace diversity.
And now here come the straight white guys with planned choreography.
It's literally, we transitioned to a fucking High School Musical for about 5 minutes here. Mm-hmm. And no one bats an eye. And they're like, yes, lesbians are bad, except me and my bros. We practiced really hard last night.
We watched 10 YouTube videos, and we choreographed this for you, Jessica.
And it's really good.
It's good.
Like, they're really talented.
I mean, clearly these are, like, young 20-somethings who are playing high schoolers, but still.
Right, and you're like, guys, literally, if you had, like, if you just watch High School Musical and you'll realize the error of your ways. Like, it's okay to like to bake and dance. But
don't stick to the status quo.
And it's just so
annoying.
Because it's like they paint this town as it's a very specifically intolerant town, Edgewater, Indiana, I tell you.
Yeah.
Because they're really okay with people of color.
Again, what we didn't see the prom prequel.
Yes.
Where it was about race.
Right, where they learned to embrace race.
Yeah. When MLK came to town, you know.
It was called The Homecoming.
The Homecoming. I have a dream for one day.
Oh, you're going to need to stop doing
and
it.
And I'm done there.
That was, problematic. Anywho, so, like, this town is, they're okay with people of color.
Yeah.
They're okay with women in positions of power.
Yeah.
But they really just
Women of color in power.
They really just only don't like lesbians, and I'm kind of confused.
I'm assuming it's everyone in the LGBTQ.
In the whatever. That would make sense. Yeah. But, like, it's very odd, because it's just like they're dancing their asses off for these promposals, mm-hmm. and this is apparently normal for them.
They're like, it's promposal day!
It's like,
don't you know?
Yes, it's the day.
Yes.
Did you not see this on the Google Calendar? Have you not been practicing and rehearsing? So
it was on the G-Cal.
So it's promposal time, and everyone's dancing and singing, and it's really cute. They're all super talented.
But
I love
then,
the song.
Alyssa, who is Emma's girlfriend, secret girlfriend.
Yes.
Who's
a cheerleader. She's one of the popular ones.
She's a popular... Yeah. The other two cheerleaders see...
That she's talking to Emma.
That they're talking to Emma, and they're kind of like a little moment together, and they're like...
If they had sang just a little bit more quiet, maybe none of this would have happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anywho, so we have promposal. That's really cute. Mm-hmm. Then we have the first and only musical number, to my knowledge, that occurs in an Applebee's. Adam, what are your thoughts on Applebee's? Let's play America's favorite game show. List places you'd rather eat than Applebee's.
Okay, so...
I'm going to start us off with Jeffrey Dahmer's home kitchen.
Holy shit. Oh my god.
No, sorry. I just have strong feelings about Applebee's.
So, here are my feelings on Applebee's. Ironically, when I did a lot of community theater in high school, I would do a lot of summer theater. This is when I did Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Mm. I was also in a production of Grease. So I wasn't in good shows, but I had fun roles.
It's about the journey.
Anyway, after rehearsals, we would often go to the nearest restaurant to that theater, which was, unfortunately, an Applebee's. But it's so only upsetting. One Applebee's on one civic row that I have memories of. Every other Applebee's, why do you exist? What is your purpose?
$1 margaritas or just water. I was so sad.
You sell cheap liquor. You microwave your wings.
You belong in airports.
Your fries are both crunchy and rubbery. What's going on? You're the poor man's Chili's.
It's just upsetting. And so, essentially, during the song, Michael Key sings to Meryl Streep about how, like, he's a Broadway nut, and it's a release for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is what he does. Like, this makes him feel wholesome.
I relate to him on a spiritual level.
Yes, you're the principal in this show.
Yes.
I'm James Corden. You're the principal.
Yes.
Or maybe I'm Meryl. No, I'm James Corden.
You're Meryl. Well,
I would prefer to be James Corden
here.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. It's...
You just give off, for those of you who don't know Joe in real life, he gives off big Meryl Streep energy.
That's the nicest thing
honestly,
you could ever tell me.
I think an exchange we actually had at one point was, I'm the Stanley Tucci to your Meryl Streep. Which perfectly encapsulates our dynamic. Anyway.
What an honor. And so they're at Applebee's. He's like, I'm a theater nut. Like, when in doubt, if you think no one's listening to you or cares about you, just, like, look to me in the audience.
Yeah.
Because I'm there.
And we're here to support you.
Yes, we love you.
Yeah.
And so then we go to Emma's house. And we meet Grandma.
Because when Emma's parents found out she was gay, they kicked her out. Which, unfortunately, I still hear stories of that today. Which just breaks my heart.
And so we meet Gam Gam.
Who is a...
She's lit.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know, just imagine the aura of Dolly Parton. And that's, like, essentially who this woman is.
Subtract the southern accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just kind of like, we went to see us and got our pictures taken so we could prove that we're a family. And he's just like, is there liquor in this lemonade? And she's just like, that's what we call an Indiana lemonade.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I like her. So we hear more about Emma's backstory. It's sad.
Very sad.
So
then Barry and Emma go on a shopping spree.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
I love this sequence. So this is... Tonight Belongs to You, which is the parody that we did at the beginning.
Yes.
And this is your quintessential, just like, you're getting a makeover. Yeah. It's like Extreme Makeover.
This is the gay edition. The like, popular in Wicked.
Yes.
This is the... You're the One That I Want from Grease. This is the... It's the makeover song.
Yes, and he's just like, we're going to dress you up. I'm going to teach you how to flirt.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight Belongs to You.
Yeah.
Seize the day. Carpe all them DMs.
Carpe diem.
And so then throughout the song, it flashes to, like, different groups around town. So, like, the popular girls are talking about how they're going to, like, get their revenge on Emma.
On Emma. And also, all the boys just, like, get, I think they say overworked. When
overheated.
When they pose certain ways.
When they tap their toe.
And I'm like...
I'm like, yeah.
It's not sensual. It just looks like you're trying to be a model.
Right, but the boys get over... Well, puberty and hormones.
That's fair.
This is high school.
Sure, if I was 16 or 17, I'd be like, oh,
right.
Man, you posed.
And so anyway. Then we go to the Green household, which is gorgeous, by the way.
Yes.
And Mrs. Green is just like... Listen, you're gonna enjoy prom like a normal girl. I've made sure of it.
I've made sure of it.
And
Alyssa's like, oh, I'm sorry, you did what?
You did what? Like, what is that supposed to mean? And she's just like, listen, when people fuck with the PTA fucks back.
Yeah.
And so, like, you're gonna have a fun night. Go to prom.
Exactly.
And then we cut to, I don't know, this is what my prom looked like.
Mm.
Yeah, with, like, choreographed dance numbers.
What? Well, you didn't go to your prom, right?
No, but I DJ'd a lot of proms.
What is... So this is a very fancy-looking prom.
Yes.
What's the fancy-looking prom you've DJ'd?
I don't know, brother. They're all in gyms.
Mine was not in a gym.
All of the ones that I DJ'd were in gyms.
Interesting.
Except one that was at a country club.
Mine was at a convention center.
Convention center?
Yeah.
They had just cleaned up from, you know, the volleyball tournament that happened the weekend.
Like, it was like in a conference room, like where you hear like the keynote speaker.
Yeah.
Like there was carpet. It wasn't just like an auditorium.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, this is what normal proms look like, right? Choreographed musical numbers.
110.
Once again, homophobic high school where everyone believes in the importance of choreography.
Again, it's Ryan Murphy.
Yes, it's Ryan Murphy.
Even the straight people are gay.
It's like, but this is like a bop. It's just like, one thing's universal. Clap. There's so much clapping in this that's not included in the soundtrack. Super disappointing. And everyone's just like singing, tonight belongs to us. And then we find out that truly the night does belong to them.
Because they kicked the lesbian out.
Yes.
Well, so what they think is the only lesbian.
So we cut over to Emma, who's looking cute. I'll give her, like, very cute. It's not her, but it's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
And she arrives at the high school, and she's with all of her gay entourage, mm-hmm. and Nicole Kidman. And then they're like...
Nicole Kidman.
And they're like, okay, let's go inside.
And Dee Dee notices that she's taking a little video... There's no one else there.
There's no one else in the parking lot, which I noted. I did clock this.
Same. I was like,
there is one car in that parking lot.
Also, when they showed up at the school, I was like, that's not the gym. Mm-hmm. They're not at the gym.
Right. When they show the prom first, that's not a gym. Like, that's not, this is incorrect. Yeah. Something's aloof.
Yeah.
And so they get into the gym. And Principal Hawkins is sitting there, and he's just like, I'm trying to figure out what happened. Mm-hmm. Okay, he finds out very quickly. I'll give him that. He's like, pause, I'm trying to figure out what happened. This is what happened.
This guy has an amazing phone tree.
He's incredible.
I'll give him that.
He knows how to access his resources.
He does.
So he is like, okay, so the parents got together.
Yeah.
And said that, you know, we were legally required to hold an inclusive prom.
Yes.
And this is your inclusive prom.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a banner on the back corner that says just, like, Happy Prom, Emma. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, 7 balloons and a disco ball that you could buy at Spencer's Gifts. Along with your sex toys, if you need them. Stage Rant is sponsored by Spencer's Gifts. and so, this sucks.
Yeah.
And Emma starts singing, oh God, the most heart-wrenching reprise. She's just like, one thing's universal. And she's just like, tonight belonged to them. And so then she calls Alyssa. And she's just like, hey.
Where are you?
And she's just like, I'm at the other prom. I didn't know. And she's just like, cool. Come here. And she's just like, I can't.
Can't, sorry.
And at this moment, Adam, I was just like, cut her off.
She's done.
Done.
Because she's literally just like, tell your mom you're gay. Tell your mom we're together. Just do it. And she's like, I can't.
It's what? Like, okay, bye. End of act one.
Yeah.
Well, so, and then James Corden is just like, we're going to fight this. Like, we're going to fix this. We're going to march over there like the act one of Les Mis. And Emma's just like, stop. Like, I'm done. I'm not here to fight. I just want to live my life.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's crying. And so, end of act one.
So then the next day...
the most bullshit news conference.
Mrs. Green is like, okay, well...
Listen, it might look like there was a coordinated effort to bully this one specific teenager.
Because as grown adults, we have nothing better to do.
Do they fucking work in this town?
But bully teenagers.
This is one of those movies, like Footloose, where you're like, do the adults work? Like, is there a whole deal that they just bully people who are marginally different than them?
You know, I thought the same thing about... No, I'm not going to get political. Never mind.
The people who went to the Capitol?
I was going to say it!
It's like similar to the people who, like, you know, give up their seats on flights for later flights. It's like, how does your lifestyle permit this?
No, if it's like a vacation or like going to see a family member, you can be like, okay, sure, this person clearly needs to go there sooner than I do. That's fine. People who spend a whole day driving from, like, Tennessee to Washington, D.C. to listen to a con man say you gotta fight about your country, then to walk and try to storm the Capitol! Ah!
It's just, it's treason, it's whatever. So the next day they have the news conference,
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. We're fine. But, like, also, the people on airplanes, like, it's bullshit. Like, who goes through the trouble of going through TSA at Atlanta and is like, you know what? I don't need to leave today. I will take that later flight.
I don't know. Philanthropists?
What?
Bill Gates?
No, Bill Gates is like, get me home. So we have the news conference, and then we spend some time trying to, like, hype Emma up so that she can, you know, lead the charge against injustice, which is, God, you know, it's not her job, you know? Like, as a member of the marginalized community, it's not her role to fix people's perception of a marginalized identity.
I hated whenever...
It's not her job.
I've seen it play out in classrooms and in different presentations.
You're black. What do you think about this?
Right. It's like, oh, today we're talking about civil rights. Isn't that right? Looking at the one black student. Or, you know, we're going to be talking about the Stonewall riots. Looks at the one gay student.
Right.
Hey! Your people were there! What are your thoughts on that? And you're going to be the spokesperson for this whole group. So don't fuck it up.
And so they want to get Emma on, like, live television. And she's just like, I don't know if it has what it... If I have what it takes.
Yeah.
And Nicole Kidman's just like... Everyone get out. I have some work to do.
Yes.
And she's like, we're going to eat some ice cream. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you about the mystical properties of Zazz.
Yes. Zazz, born...
This fucking song!
Born from the great choreographer Bob Fosse himself!
It truly sounds like a cult when she talks about it. Because, like, there's one point where she's just like, you don't understand the concept of Zazz.
Have you met Fosse fans?
It embodies us. It embosses us. And it's just, oh, and essentially it's just like...
It's moxie.
If your hands... Yes.
It's the guts. Do you have the guts to
do it?
Yeah,
that's what it takes, kid.
Yeah.
And she's just like, if your hands are shaking, then turn them into jazz hands. And I did facepalm the first time I saw this. Which was like...
It's a cutesy kind of cringe song.
Where it's just like, aw.
She's doing her best. She's doing what a chorus girl in Chicago can do to hype up someone.
It's like how she normally connects to other chorus girls. She's trying it here.
Exactly. All 5'11" of that goddamn beautiful goddess. Anyway.
Oh, God bless her.
And
so we've learned about Zazz.
Yes.
And it was revealed at one point, and Emma decides that she's like, okay, fine, I will stand up.
Yeah.
And we'll do this, you know, we'll accomplish this mission.
Yeah.
And so it was revealed, you know, that the actor's troupe was only here on, you know, a profile raising mission. They just wanted to raise their profile to be activists and to utilize and to take advantage of the opportunity to make themselves look better. And so the principal is now disillusioned with Didi, you know.
Yeah.
Didi Hadid. Different person. Didi Allen. And so she needs to get him back.
Yeah.
And so who wants them to get back together more than James Corden?
Right.
And James Corden's like, you need to go put on your cute yellow poncho situation and get your ass over there. And she's just like, well, you need to call your mother, who you haven't talked to in years, who lives in Ohio.
Which happens to be right next to Indiana.
Which is true. Geographically, this is true.
It is.
And he's just like, those are two separate things. And
assuming she lives in, like, Cincinnati area, not that far.
If she lives on the east side of Ohio, though, that's a rough drive.
She's like in Chillicothe or like Akron.
Fuck that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and so she's just like, you need to call your mother who kicked you out of the house, even though they didn't really, but like he left because he thought he would be rejected by them.
Right. Which I will say, and I'm gonna, well, so like this moment, like,
oh my God.
I teared up a bit.
Yes.
Because
he's crying. He, like, turns around. He's
So we're fast-forwarding a bit here. We'll get back to...
We're not fast-forwarding. We're right where we need to be.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're talking in their hotel room.
Right.
And she's just like, you know,
call your mom.
Call your mom. And he's just like, he's like, call your ex-husband.
Yeah.
And she's just like, no. And he's like, no. So we're kind of at a sad standstill, but it's sad because now we know more of Barry's backstory.
Right.
And when he tried to go to the prom when he was younger, he waited on his, what he perceived to be gay crush. Mm-hmm. Come, but then the gay crush showed up with a female, yeah. And so it ruined his prom experience.
Right.
I will say, quick note on young Barry. Young Barry is not in high school. Young Barry is a 10-year-old child wearing a fucking tuxedo.
Yeah.
Could have done better on that, but good for that kid because he now has a fucking IMDb profile.
Yes, he does.
For playing infant James Corden. And so we have that nice moment.
Yeah.
But now, Didi Hadid is going to go win back the principal.
Yes.
And how is she going to do that?
She's gonna tug at his heartstrings with The Ladies Improving.
Oh,
which
song.
Is the opening number of the second act of Swallow the Moon, which is the show that he saw her in, and da-da-da. As he says, it's the song that won her the Tony.
Yes. It's a cute number.
It is.
It's a bop.
The lady's improving, so don't
give up hope. So they win each other, you know, they're now back together under the provision that he will teach her how to not be an asshole.
Which, as someone who works in education, that's boiled down, anyone who works in education, that's our job.
Yeah, it's just
teaching people to not be assholes.
Or slightly less asshole-ish.
Yeah.
And so they're back together, and now it's time for Emma to talk to Alyssa.
Yes.
And this does not go well.
It does not.
Because, like, listen, we hear a lot in the song. We're going to play a mini game here in a moment called Does This Justify the Action? and so Alyssa is, like, essentially, in a song titled Alyssa Green, outlines how her life is difficult. And essentially, she's under a lot of pressure from her mom. Like, her hair has to be perfect. Her grades have to be straight. Ha! Because she's a lesbian. Like, there's...
It's that classic overbearing mother.
Yes.
Not sure if vicarious living through her or not. Yes. But it's, you have to have certain standards.
It's like, you're not quite yourself. You're not what she wants, her mother wants. She's something in between.
Yeah.
Like, her life's a lie when you're Alyssa Green.
And that's still rampant to this
day. And there's, like, a line in this where she's just like, because if you're perfect, then your father might come back. And you're like, oh, new information has been revealed about Alyssa Green. Does this justify? She's a tough character.
So here's the thing. When we're going to talk about divorce.
Yes.
I firmly believe it's never the child's fault.
No, it's never the child. Unless they're a really shitty kid.
Unless they're absolutely.
And, like, there are some people listening to this whose parents are divorced, and you know that you're the... And that's okay. Like, you can move past
this. You're not the cause. You're not the cause.
No. It takes two to tango, and it takes two to get a divorce.
Right. So it's... So her saying that to be like, well, sorry I couldn't go and be with you. My mom wants our dad to come back. Like, that's not your job, Alyssa.
Right.
You are a junior / senior in high school. Get good grades and live your life, girl.
Would you forgive in this situation?
Would I forgive?
If you're Emma, do you forgive? Notwithstanding the incredible barriers that are in place to LGBTQ youth in high school.
As a straight guy.
Yeah.
I mean.
Remember, all along the night belonged to them.
I know.
Not you.
I mean,
you had a high school of at least 850 people all agree unanimously. There was a scheme of around 4,000 people who agreed.
But my partner didn't know about it.
But she didn't do anything when she became knowledgeable. This is where I get, like, hung up on this. So, like, I would say in this situation I would forgive. A, like, because it's
like
a musical.
Like, me personally, I would forgive.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, I would not forgive in Happiest Season.
Real world.
Go be with fucking Audrey Plaza. You belong together and you're happy. I would say in this situation you forgive.
Real world.
Eventually.
Not a musical. I don't know if I would forgive.
That's tough.
I don't know if I would. Because
that's, like, fucking scarring.
Because I'd be like, you could... Again, it's that whole... It's the the classic therapy, John Mulaney case of Nazis sitting on a bench. You know, what you saw, you know, Billy get bullied? Yeah, because I was sitting on the bench. And you didn't do anything about it? Yeah, because I was sitting on the bench.
I was sitting on the
bench. Same thing. You could have done something, and you chose not to.
Right.
You could have told your mom who you are, but you chose not to. You could have just left and come to me, but you chose not to.
Right.
So I wouldn't forgive in real world, but musical Adam, 110% would forgive.
You got to, because it's a musical.
Because I'd be like, it has to have a happy ending. I'd be like, you're not the cause of your parents' divorce. Let's just be lovers.
Right. And so that song happens. Yeah. They break up.
Yes.
Trouble in Paradise. It is now time for the sequel to Book of Mormon.
Pretty much.
So, like, Adam, as I mentioned to you earlier, I want to know what the sponsorship deal was with the shopping mall that is frequented in this film. I think three times it pops up. Because we're now in, like, the central fountain area that all the malls have. Yeah, I don't know if it's a food court.
They're eating lunch.
Yes, but, most of the dancing occurs in the central area, not by the fountain. Not to get nitpicky, it's whatever, it's fine. Well, so,
as most people know, most malls, if you live near one that still exists...
Then wow.
Thanks, Jeff Bezos.
History.
Yeah, living near a relic. Had a big fountain in the middle of it. Anyway.
Yeah, so, like, it's time for Book of Mormon Part 2.
Yes.
I want it to be written in... I want to be Andrew Reynolds, you know, talent agent, so that I could only ever schedule him and sign him up for things where he has to sing... in a Broadway musical about religion.
Yeah.
Because...
No, I don't want him to be like Jesus... I don't want him to be Jesus Christ Superstar. I don't want him to be God. No, Joseph.
It has to be about the hypocrisy of religion.
I want him singing a commentary...
Yes.
On religion.
Yes. Love Thy Neighbor is a lot of fun. Because...
Love Thy Neighbor is a really fun one.
It's literally just freaking Book of Mormon.
And
he's essentially teaching the popular kids, which annoys me, because this is not the first time they've heard about the shit in the Bible. Like, anything in the Old Testament of the Bible, frankly, should probably just be thrown out, because it's a little freaking wackadoodle. But it's like, what's that?
The evangelicals in Indiana...
Yes.
Believe it counts.
Yes, and it's like, oh, what's that? You've masturbated? Time to cut off your hands. Like...
Oh, your parents are divorced? When do you want us to kill your mom?
Right, when's it, like, how's tomorrow if she doesn't have any plans? Like, let's kill your mom tomorrow.
Right.
And so through the power of musical theater, Andrew Reynolds convinces the main, misguided teenagers that religion may not always be what it seems. Like, where have they been for 16 years?
I mean, even in The Simpsons, there's a reference to, like, a pastor in The Simpsons being like, if you read the book, we're not even supposed to poop.
Right.
Like,
love thy neighbor.
There's so much in the Bible that's just, like, fucked. Anyway.
There is, as they're singing this song, at one point in time, they pan up to an art piece that's hanging in the central atrium of this shopping mall, and it forms a cross. And I'm like, Ryan, that was a little heavy-handed. I'm like, I wonder if it was there or not. Probably not.
No.
Because this was probably filmed in a mall in California, so highly unlikely.
Yeah.
Anywho, love thy neighbor. So we do that. We're all back at the hotel now.
Yes.
And it has been arranged where Dee Dee has communicated and struck a deal with her former husband.
Who owns a beach house.
In the Hamptons. He is a famous talk show host. Which, holy shit, there's one line in this where there's this mini cutaway where it's her in a hotel room and she's watching his late night show.
Yes.
And with his audience, he's just like, all right, what's our lesson for tonight? Never sign a prenup! I'm like, holy shit. Imagine just like imagine Jimmy Kimmel.
I can imagine.
Being like, the lesson of tonight, say it with me, kids, never sign a prenup.
I can see Jimmy Kimmel doing that. I feel like of all the late night hosts, Jimmy Kimmel, not Fallon, Kimmel has a lot of rage.
He does. He's been hurt.
He has a lot. I mean, honestly, poor guy.
Also, is he high? Minigame. Is Jimmy Kimmel actively high during every filming of his show?
Probably.
I think he is.
Yeah.
He always just has this stupid shit-eating grin on his face. So you're like, dude,
you're hot. Yeah.
You're roasted.
You're baked.
You are biggity-biggity baked.
So for you, I know you're a big James Corden fan.
Yes.
Do you have another favorite late-night talk show host?
I'd say Kimmel would be my second place.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Fallon kind of annoys me. Like, his thank you letters are fine. But, like, I do like Kimmel. Kimmel does a lot of funny pranks.
Mm.
Corden. The reason I like James Corden so much, if you've never watched his show... Back...
Now, before you go on, I am a big fan of his... Not present, but the show that comes on before his, Late Night with Stephen Colbert. Big Colbert guy.
Colbert is, like, highbrow late night. And I love Stephen Colbert. I have four of his books. Like,
he's great.
I love him. I grew up with the Colbert Report, and that was my first introduction to the concept of satire, truly.
And really good satire, so much to the point that when he was like, I'm done doing the character, conservatives got angry.
Right.
Because they thought he was being serious.
Serious. And then when he testified before Congress in character, I'm like, I love Stephen Colbert. This is very highbrow. I love James Corden's because in the before times, when he had a studio audience, he did some of the, like, craziest, power trippiest bullshit games. He would... What does James want to see?
Yes.
If I force you to watch these...
Many times.
He made a wheel, like a spinning wheel, where he's just like...
It's random prompts.
Yes, random thing... Random, you know, items on this wheel are like, you know, Bono punching a short person.
Or like Keanu Reeves as a refrigerator.
It's yes. Like... And so it's just like, they're random images that his graphics department have put together. And he's just like, the game is called James Wanna See. And yeah. He's just like... James want to see. To be clear, in this situation, James is me. Is there anyone else in the audience named James?
I'm named James.
You? Your name is James?
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about you. I am James.
Okay.
Do you want to see this?
No.
I don't care. It is what I want to see.
Okay.
It's just like a power trip of a thing, which is very much my identity. And so, like, why do you think I was an RA? If I were to have a late night show, I would probably be very similar to James Corden without the carpool karaoke, because imagine having to pretend like you give a shit about Britney Spears. Anywho.
She's gone through a lot.
Britney Spears was a bad, bad one.
She's gone through a lot.
Justin Bieber. She's essentially, like, kidnapped. It's really sad, honestly.
Exactly. She's been through a lot.
Yeah. But, like, she wasn't through a ton when they did the carpool karaoke. Things got progressively worse after her residency in Vegas. Anywho, follow her on Instagram. I don't, like, all of her posts are kind of scary. Like, her head is always at this angle where she kind of looks like an extra in The Walking Dead. And you're like, Brittany, is your neck open? Like...
I mean, her father's a monster.
They're
but,
just... Oh,
you know.
That's so bad.
Anyway.
Anywho, so now we're back. That was a lengthy detour.
Woo!
Okay, we're back on Highway 1. Oh, no, we're collapsing into the ocean again. Anywho.
That also happened. Oh, God.
What do you mean inauguration didn't fix all problems? And so Dee Dee exchanged the Hamptons house for an interview for Emma.
Yes.
And then Emma comes in and she's just like, oh my gosh, I love all of you. I'm going to stand up for what's right, but I'm going to do it my way and I'm not going to go on TV.
And Meryl, Dee Dee's like, sure, I lost the house in the Hamptons.
She's like, you owe me a house. And so she tries to attack Emma, which is a really cute sequence.
No.
And then Emma's just like, I'm going to do I'm essentially going to do a quick Dear Evan Hansen thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a prom for everyone. It's going to be cute. James Corden, would you like to go to prom with me?
Yeah.
And he's just like, would I ever? This song is so precious. Barry is going to prom. He's singing about how 29 years ago he was going to go to prom and then he had his heart broken.
Yeah.
But he's like, now I'm going to prom with a high school lesbian. That's fine. Like, get the limo. Get the tux, uncork the don. Barry is going to prom.
Yeah.
Love the song. Very cute.
Yes.
James Corden knocks it out of the park.
Yeah.
And so then it's time for Dear Evan Hansen. Have you seen Dear Evan Hansen?
I have.
Okay, so this is essentially like You Will Be Found.
Yeah.
This is like someone watched Dear Evan Hansen and loosely wrote a musical number based off of it.
Hang on. What was Dear Evan Hansen?
So the song Unruly Heart. It's cute. It's not one I go back and listen to. Like, if I'm working on the elliptical, I'm not just like, oh, unruly heart. And it's, she's singing into her webcam.
Dear Evan Hansen came out a year before this came out, so they probably copied it.
In some way, shape, or form. Or this might be one of those things where, like, Hollywood sometimes makes weird parallel movies, like the White House Down, Olympus Has Fallen movies, where they're both movies about the same exact concept, and you're like, did anyone talk to how did this happen?
Right.
Similar concept. She's singing into her webcam, playing acoustic guitar on a bed that is spinning, at least making one revolution every, I don't know, 1 second. This bed is circling fast. She has to, like, she's experiencing G's. Like, she's freaking, she's flying into space on a freaking X, like, a Falcon X, and, like, on this bed singing just, like, my unruly, oh god, I'm so lightheaded, heart, like, she can't be well. Like, if you go back and watch this, I've tried spinning. Last time I watched this, I stood up and I started spinning in place at the speed that she was spinning. I was dizzy. And I'm like, this is a little odd. Also, her bed's not centered in the middle of the room. I know I'm getting nitpicky here, but why that aesthetic, Ryan? But it's cute.
Because it is cute.
It's cute because you have all these people being just like, oh, like, my boyfriend's my everything. Just like, I, like,
is your bed being centered in the room? Is that like a normal, I'm not, my bed is centered in the room, just putting it out there. But like, is it not normal to have it not centered?
To have your bed in the middle of the room? No, I'm talking like dead smack centered.
Oh!
If this were a Word document, she hits a line center, both vertical and horizontal.
I thought you meant like having the bed like somewhat centered in the middle of the room.
No. The bed is smack dab in the middle of the goddamn room.
In this sequence, yes.
Yes.
And it's based off of the weird
Nordic design principle of
Hygge.
Of Hygge. Also known as inconvenience by design.
Found at IKEA.
Anywho, bitch is spinning fast in this bed, and I'm like, she's not well. But it's really cute. And everyone's just like, oh my gosh, so inspiring. No. And the gay crew, the gay team. Like the A team, but the K team, plus Nicole Kidman, are all together.
No, don't clap for yourself.
No,
that's tacky.
If you're not your number one fan, who is?
Touché.
And they're just like, oh, this is really cute. Let's put on a prom. And they're like, we don't have any money. And then everyone starts putting in their credit cards.
And Dee Dee pulls out her American Express, which I didn't know why it was so like crazy, the American Express, but I'm never going to own an American Express card ever because, wow, that is a fancy card.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily so.
Right. It's, anyway. Yeah. No, she has, like, no spending limits, and she's just like, okay, fine, put on prom. And they're like, cool, let's put on prom.
Yeah.
So, like, they're decorating for the prom.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's hanging out, and they're like, cool, we're going to have a prom.
Yeah.
And then Mrs. Green storms in.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. Dun, 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 dun. So she storms in and she's just like, who approved this? And he's just like, it's an external event. I signed off on it. It didn't need the approval of the PTA. Suck my dick. And she's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
No. And then Alyssa comes in. And so she's just like, okay, now seems like a good time. So in a really emotional sequence, she comes out to her mom. And really great acting here. God bless Olivia Pope.
Yeah.
AKA
Kerry Washington.
Her name was Olivia Pope in Scandal.
Right.
Great show. It's on Netflix. Come watch it.
Yeah.
And so great sequence. Very, very heart touching.
Yeah.
But like not in a great way. Because she's just like, okay, we'll talk about this later. Bye.
And it's very much the parent who's like instantly just like in denial. Like, you're not gay. You're confused.
You're confused. Yeah. And so then she leaves and they're like, okay, let's build a prom.
Yeah.
And so
Not meanwhile, but shortly before this, we also have the moment where Barry meets his mom again.
Oh, shit. I forgot
about
this. They
are reunited, and his mom basically...
The most Ohio-looking woman I've ever seen.
Honestly. She basically says to Barry, like, we didn't know what to do.
Right.
We were scared. And honestly, I think that... I love that this was in this show because I think it's very easy to, you know, I mean, even the show did it to a degree where it's like, you know, you're all bigots, you all hate, what are you doing? But seeing Barry's mom be like, no, we were scared, we didn't know what to do, we didn't know what this would mean for you, we didn't know how hard your life would be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost just that, like, genuine, I want to be here to support you, I just don't know how.
Right. And he's like, where's dad? And she's just like, he's not quite there, like, there yet.
Right.
But, like, I'm here.
Right. And it just, that was, I think, the most realistic moment in this musical for me.
And I'm glad it was, I'm super glad it was in there, because the movie would have felt, like...
insincere.
Insincere.
Yeah.
I think it was super important to drive home the message of what we're here for.
And it's also, like...
which isn't about a prom, spoiler alert.
Right. And it also drives home the message of, like, if someone is acting a certain way towards you, more than likely... it's not because they hate you, it's because they just don't...
it's a lack of understanding.
And they don't know what to do. Yeah. Like, if you... yeah, anyway.
Right.
But also, parents, don't kick your kids out of the house.
Right. Number like, one. If you don't know what to do, when is that ever the first step not knowing what to do?
Like, worst case scenario, oh no, we're not going to have a daughter or son-in-law. We're going to have another son. Okay.
Right. It's like, your knee-jerk reaction never before has been, my child has done something I don't understand. Let's kick them out of the house.
Right. Like, when your three-year-old drew on the wall with a crayon, you weren't like, get out of the house!
You're like, into the cold.
Why did you do this?
Onto the orphan train you go.
Not the orphan train. Don't bring that back.
It's coming back to season two, baby!
Oh, no!
And so, yeah. Anyway. Heartfelt moment. It's time for it's time to dance.
And now it's time to dance.
It's time to dance.
We've come to the finale.
So the good news is they all came together and they built a prom for everyone.
Yeah.
And they showed them all that it can be done.
Yes.
When music blares and no one cares who your unruly heart loves. Prom. So she, our main character, Emma, is now wearing her tuxedo.
Mm-hmm.
She's now holding hands with her girlfriend, and they go to prom.
Yeah.
Holy shit. By the way, side note, they transformed the fuck out of this gym.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Where did they find time for that?
Yeah.
They had to hang linens from the ceiling. You like, telling you me Meryl Streep was operating a forklift?
So many string lights around PVC piping to form the perfect little archway that we can walk into. Yeah.
Like, I get the importance of building an inclusive prom, but, like, the budget for this was insane. Anywho, like, it completely transformed into a soundstage. Oh, sorry, I mean a gymnasium.
Right.
They even changed the floor.
That's doable.
But no prom is out there. What dance have you been to where they're like, we're going to put out, we're going to change the floor.
Just cover it up.
That's
paneling.
It's not paneling, though. It's, like, pure white. It's like a white concrete floor. Anywho, whatever. I digress.
White concrete paneling.
Anywho. So, like, we have the finale song, which is very cute. It's time to dance.
Yes.
Where she's just like, oh my gosh, all of you helped me so much. Nicole Kidman gets her role.
Yes.
As
she's
Roxy Hart.
Heart.
So it's very cute. Everyone's coming in. Barry dances with his mother, and you're like, "Oh, they love each other."
Yeah.
And then, in a perplexing way of putting this, it's like Mrs. Green walks in, and she looks like a chandelier or like a stained glass window.
Yeah.
It's a dress. Oh shit! Who's the dress by? I think it's Coach.
Mm.
I looked it up. It's like thousands of dollars, whatever. And so she walks in. She looks stunning because she's fucking Kerry Washington. And she walks in, and everyone stops and, like, forms a semicircle around the entrance. And it's like, hey, guys, Alyssa's about to confront her mom. Gather around!
Yeah. It's like, we don't need to be paying attention
but
to this.
But it's like, it's a room full of people who have, oh my god. I'm like, this is the inclusive prom. Everyone has gone through difficulties in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Give them some space.
Right. Like, did all your friends gather around when you came out to your parents?
It's like, this is rough. But essentially, the conversation is very, once again, very heartfelt. It's like the second half. It's what the conversation should have been the first time.
Yeah.
But she, Mrs. Green's just like, I've always loved you. Right. Like, we have some work to do, but like,
You have some work to do.
Like, yes.
You have some work to do. Alyssa's fine.
Yes. But it's like, they're going to get through it together. They're going to be very cute. And she's just like, I think in a really important line in this, Mrs. Green, Kerry Washington, is just like, I just don't want you to have a hard life. To which Alyssa responds, it's already hard. And it's just like, oh no.
Yeah.
Mike, drop.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, oh, okay, guys, the lesbian came out to her mom. Let's go back to dancing. And then they go back to dancing and they build a prom for everyone. Show them all. It can be done if we clap our hands. The cool kids are here and they understand what racism is.
Yeah.
And so they build a prom for everyone. It's time to dance.
Yeah.
They build a prom.
And that's the prom.
That's the ending.
Yeah.
They did it.
This is a fun movie.
This is cute.
This is a cute movie.
It came at, like, the right time.
It did.
Not just because it came after I watched the garbage fire that was Happiest Holiday. But, like, it was very cute. It was very heartwarming. It's, like, your perfect holiday feel-good movie.
And also, the music's just good.
The music is so good.
The music is just good. So
there's only, like, two songs in here that really, like, I will skip on the album. And it's Dance With You, which is where they're singing to each other at the beginning, and they're just like, I just want to dance with you. And I'm like, I'm good.
It's ballady. It's meh.
Right. And then We Look to You, which, like, I love you, King Michael Key, but, like, that's just, I don't care. So I'm like, I just want to dance.
Yeah.
But, like, other than those two songs, like, they're not bad songs.
No.
They're just boring ballads.
They're just not our cup of tea.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't really dance to that. So it's like, it's very nice, unproblematic movie, and I'm so glad we could start Stage Rant season 2 with a very cute, very content.
Now, of course, it wouldn't be Stage Rant
without the problem.
Without some games.
Games!
So, you introduced us to Share with Share. The season 2, I'll be introducing my own diva-based game. I want you to make it with Meryl. Now, of course, Meryl Streep is already in the prom.
Yes.
Now, if you could... So what I'm going to do here is if you could cast Meryl Streep in any Broadway musical or movie that you've seen, what role would you... Like, if you're like, I wish Meryl Streep would play this role, we will continue this throughout season 2. Share with season 1. Meryl is in for season 2. We'll continue this similar to Cher with Cher from season 1, but for this
time... So our time, mascot for season 2 is Meryl
Streep. Is Meryl Streep,
as
yes.
she fucking should be.
Yes. So, where would you put Meryl Streep if you could see any role?
Any movie.
We'll keep it movie or musical.
Or, like, movie musical?
Yeah.
Any of them.
Any of them.
I'm...
Assuming it's not Aumia, he's already in that one.
I know, that was where my head first went, and I'm just like, wait a second.
She's already there.
What if, and hear me out.
Okay.
High School Musical. I want her to be the drama teacher.
The drama teacher. So you want her you just want her to be her role in Mary Poppins Returns, but in a high school setting.
Adam, when was the last time you saw a High School Musical? Listen, I know
it might be over a few. I know that a decade ago.
I know that the drama teacher in High School Musical was wacky, but she certainly was not Turning Turtle wacky.
That's fair. That's fair.
I just want Meryl Streep in that role, but I
that
want,
would be good.
But I want her to be in the role of Meryl Streep. Like, I like the idea of Meryl Streep working with local drama students.
Yeah.
In a high school.
Yeah.
That's my first answer. I was a little caught off guard. Where's Meryl going for you?
For me, I think Meryl...
Or the producers, and she replaces Uma Thurman. Okay, yeah.
Oh. Oh!
If you got it.
Oh, that would be...
Flaunt it!
I think Meryl Streep would do a really good Velma Kelly.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
I think she'd do a really good... She would add a different layer to the character, almost make her like an aged star.
Yeah.
Like, she did early vaudeville, and now her time's coming to an end in the 20s in Chicago, and, like, the murder really just kind of, you know... I think she'd be a really good Velma Kelly. So my next question, then, is the only other game I've prepared. If you have other games, feel free to step in. Is, who would... If you could bring any celebrity to the prom, who would you take to prom?
Any celebrity.
Doesn't even have to be musical related.
No.
Any celebrity.
There's so many celebrities.
You get to pick two.
Two?
Like two options. So you can pick two. I'm not going to have you narrow it down to just one.
Oh, no.
Two.
My first choice is going to be Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi! Right, Joe, we're going to the prom, I guess. All right,
we'll just be... because, imagine Steve Buscemi as your fucking prom date. No one would ever believe you.
People would be terrified of you.
I went to prom with Steve Buscemi. I hate that was the first name that popped in my head, and I hate even more that the second name that pops in my head is Tom Hanks. Because I don't even want to dance with Tom Hanks. I just want to talk to him. I want to go to pre-prom dinner with Tom Hanks at the fucking Cheesecake Factory.
But then go to the dance with Steve Buscemi?
No. I want one on either arm. Imagine walking in to prom with two guests.
Uh-huh.
Steve Buscemi
and Tom Hanks.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh, that's a knee slapper.
Wow.
Just imagine the power.
Wow.
Yeah, try to top those two.
I'm not trying to top it. I'm not getting competitive here. I would probably bring... Emma Stone would be one.
Okay.
And then... I think... And this is going to be an odd one. But I think she'd be really fun to be with. At least for, like, the prom night. Rashida Jones.
Rashida Jones?
Yeah.
She would be fun.
No! Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Interesting.
She seems fun.
Say more.
I don't know. She seems fun. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
She's cute.
I know how we're ranking this, by the way.
Oh, yes. Give us a...
Our ranking for this is going to be the best 2015 prom songs.
Oh.
And we're going to select an option from the top 10.
So I'm going to give you a number, and you're
going to
tell me
I'm
what
going
song
to tell
is.
You what song this was at your high school prom.
Now, is one the, like, if this is a perfect film, or 10 is a perfect film?
I'm going to say, hold on, let me see what 1 and 10 are. I'm going to say 1 is the perfect song, is the perfect musical, and 10 is...
Okay.
Is...
I'm going to give the prom a 2, or an 80%.
Really?
It's a B.
Okay, tell me more.
I think that it falls into a lot of tropes of modern musicals. A lot of modern musicals focus a lot on, like, the teenage experience, which I'm all here for that. But a lot of them seem to sound and feel very similar. Like,
mm-hmm.
Dear Evan Hansen, Be Cool, The Prom, Fun Home. Like, they're all about young teenagers struggling with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that, like, other Broadway shows don't deal with similar stuff as well, but they all seem to kind of be, like, from, like, 2012 to, like, now, we just have a lot of high school issue musicals, as if to kind of be like, we have to get young people into Broadway. But, like, there is good stuff on Broadway, just make compelling shows. Anyway, that's my little gripe there, but I think it's a B.
Are there, like, okay, so I'm going to push back a little bit. So, like, are there a lot of high school-centric shows? Yes. Do each of them tell a very different story?
Yes, they do. They do.
I
but
think...
In terms of music...
Sure.
The music styling, that kind of upbeat pop rock vibe, in many ways, is very similar.
Hmm.
The prom, not so much, though. I will say that.
The prom is very different. I would also say Dear Evan Hansen is not...
I'm not saying it's all pop rock, but it's that kind of... contemporary, a lot more guitars. A lot of guitars and piano.
More guitars than you would expect.
Like, for a Broadway show.
Does anybody have a map?
Like, nah.
Does anybody maybe happen to know how the hell to do this?
So I think it's a B. I'm giving it a B. So what is the number 2?
You are Maroon 5's Sugar.
Oh.
Sugar! Yes, please! Here, come pouring down on me.
Okay.
Right here, and you're here, and all a little sympathy. Which is a good
good song.
It was definitely at my prom.
Yeah, that was absolutely at my prom. I'm giving. Yeah. So obviously, this should come.
You didn't go to prom.
Well, I played that a lot at different proms.
That's fair.
In 2015, I will say. So this should come as no surprise. As I've mentioned, this is a film that falls very comfortably into the category of just like, aw, I feel good.
Yeah.
And then, like, if I can laugh and cry at a movie, then it's done something right, you know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a Tyler Perry movie. Like, if I can laugh, cry, and pray in the same flick, damn, you've done good.
Yeah.
And there's just, to me, it's a beautiful story that's really important to tell, and it's wrapped up in a way where audiences can view it, and it can hopefully be a little thought-provoking.
Yeah.
And you're like, huh, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should, like, be more, you know, welcoming. Maybe we should be more intentional when we're in spaces where, like, you know, we have decision-making power to make sure that we're inclusive in those spaces and not being, in a lot of cases, unintentionally neglectful.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's an important message wrapped up in, you know, a very pretty presentation that came at, like, the right time. If this came out, like, two years ago, I don't know if I would have cared as much.
If I would have seemed cheesy at the time.
I would have been like, haha, the prom. Because I remember very vividly a production of, it was a compilation that they did at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yes.
I want to say 2018.
2018. Well, that's when it was on Broadway, 2018.
And that was, I'll admit, it was a present, I skipped it. Because yeah. I was like, they're dressed in these very campy, like,
super 80s, neon colored, yeah, like,
prom fits, and I'm just like, oh, this seems lame. But I liked this presentation, and one thing I didn't talk about, I think it's the most faithful adaptation, one of the more faithful adaptations we've seen.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of times when movies are made into musicals, they will change some of the jokes, or change how some of the jokes are delivered, mm-hmm, or those, or even some blocking type things. I think, mm-hmm, this was the best way for me to see a Broadway musical without it being a pro shot.
Yeah.
Because I felt as though, like, as I was watching it, I was just like, I could very easily see how this would be performed on stage. And, like, at the end, when Mrs. Green comes into the, mm-hmm, to the, you know, the gym, and, like, the popular kids, like, I could envision how that would look on a stage.
Well, this and the producers, I thought, had very similar vibes.
Yes.
They were very much, and also, in the case of the producers, it was the original Broadway cast put on film.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, I mean, I don't know of any other stage-to-movie adaptation that was shorter from when it was on Broadway. I mean, it debuted on Broadway in 2018.
And now it's on Netflix.
And not even 2 years later, it was on Netflix.
Right.
Like,
and, like, I guess an argument could be made for the upcoming Dear Evan Hansen, which I'm really excited for. When are we getting Book of Mormon?
I'm like, probably never. I'm just, because it's still running on Broadway.
Right. I'm like, damn you being successful. I'm like, I'm happy for its success.
That's why we're never going to get a Wicked movie.
Which, like, I'm okay with.
They've been teasing us for a Wicked movie for, like, 15 years.
You've seen it enough times. So
I've seen it.
I would say, you know, my executive summary is, it's a beautiful, non-problematic story about an important lesson,
yeah,
set to a catchy tune that we can all dance to.
So what are you rating it?
I'm giving it a one.
Oh,
coincidentally, really? Walk the Moon, Shut Up and Dance.
I love that
Don't
song.
You dare turn back.
Take your eyes off me. Just said you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me.
Adam, this has been episode one of season two.
Yes, it has.
I didn't think we'd make it to a season
really?
Two, to be honest.
No?
Oh, no. And, like, recently you shared some of our platform statistics, and we won't go into specifics because we're not here to brag. But our viewers have been incredibly generous to us.
I looked real quick. The episode that got to 108th,
yeah,
on June 27th, I was like, what came out that day? Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
I'm telling you, everyone fucking laughs, and Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, and it's a national treasure. So we've had a lot of success for, you know, a podcast of just two random dudes who are, you know, very comfortable with our masculinity and sexuality. just talking about podcasts. Apparently we found a weird niche in the market, but yeah. We're happy to continue doing these.
Yeah.
So you are all more than welcome to engage with us on social media. Leave a like, leave a review. I don't really know how podcast platforms work. I usually only listen to murder podcasts.
That's fair.
But here we are talking about musicals.
Yeah. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Stitcher.
Wherever you get Radio your podcasts.
Public. Literally, anywhere you get them, you can find us there. Leave us a 5-star review if you're on Apple Podcasts. The more you review and, or the more you rate and review, the more that our podcast will show up when people search for movie entertainment style podcasts. Thankfully, no one thought of using the name StageRant for a podcast.
Absolutely wild to me. So I feel like we're going to get sued one of these days somehow, but like, let's not. Anywho. So, you know, this is season two. We're very excited. We have a lot of great content planned out. Like we said, we're going to take a couple different directions here. We're going to do some game shows where it's going to be a mix of, you know, here's some theater facts and also can you guess Joe's opinion on things?
Probably not.
We'll see if they can. They're pretty wild opinions. and so we're going to have a lot of fun this season. This is season two of StageRant.
Yeah.
Let's build a prom. This Let's is, show them all.
This has been StageRant.
17 more seasons, baby. 17. We're going to run out of musicals, Jesus Christ.
We are.
God.
No, well.
Bye.